Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me, as always, is the April showers to my Mayflowers.
That was cute.
Random, but fun.
The fucking Scoobies to my Doobie-Doos. Snort.
Hello.
Silent John.
Hello.
And Frank couldn't be here today. So we just finished smoking a lot of weed.
Because
it's a specialist month of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, the holidays has started. It's April. So we get to fucking smoke weed. I mean, we always smoke weed. But we get to smoke more weed.
We get to smoke celebratory weed.
Yes, weed with a purpose.
Yeah.
Because it's 420 month.
Bop, 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 bop.
Womp, 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 womp. In fucking deed. So, last 420 for the show, we did our 420 specials, which was four little 20-minute episodes. We're not doing that this year. That was a fucking marathon. By the end of it, we were fucking burned out, blazed out, stoned out, fucking munched out, so out of everything that it fell apart by the last one. So, we're not going to do that this year, guys. Don't worry. Don't worry.
You know what I just realized we did after all of that, too? Was when we went and saw Everything Everywhere together for the first time.
Oh, yeah. All at once.
Yeah. What a day.
That was a long day.
Yeah, I think it took me like a week to recover from that day. But you know what? If we had to, I'd do it all over again.
Okay, but this time we're not going to do that. We're going to pace it out.
Thank you.
Yes.
So this year for our 420s, throughout the month of April, we're going to be each picking our stoner movie, and we're just going to do a fucking stoner movie.
I like it. Keep it simple.
Yeah, I think that was the simplest solution. And like last year, we were just like, oh, let's just get really high. And we didn't think about the repercussions as we tried to do four episodes in one day.
You know, I think we just got a little overexcited. It happens to the best of us. And we learned our lesson.
Yeah, so we're going to pace it out this time. So this year, the first pick is coming from me. And I've got a special movie in mind because we just got off of our Scream movie, Scream 6.
Yeah.
Last week's episode. But don't take off your ghost face masks just yet, because we're going to go into 420 with a stoner scary movie, guys. Because today we're going to be watching Idle Hands.
Well, first things first, hold on. There's a scary stoner movie?
Yeah, I know nothing about this movie at all.
Yeah, this is a scary stoner movie. It's not like a scary stoner movie. It's like a stoner scary comedy movie.
Okay.
But it's definitely more of a stoner movie than a scary movie. It's probably 50-50. I'm going to go 50-50 on it.
How am I not aware that such thing exists? I'm a little disappointed that I don't know what this is.
What makes it a stoner movie? Do they just smoke weed during the movie?
There's a lot of smoking weed. So I'm going to set the scene like chronologically. Okay?
Okay.
We're going to do a little bit of time traveling right now. I'm going to take you back to the year of our Dark Lord, 1999, okay? This is an era where you've got your fucking half-baked, your How Highs, your fucking... It's stoner movie mecca, you know what I mean? Jay and Silent Bob, they're fucking around.
Right.
Our boys, our guys. Stoner movies are at the forefront of, like, comedy. It's not relegated to straight to DVD or straight to streaming like it is now.
Okay.
People actually put forth the effort to put these in theaters. People gave a shit about stoner movies.
Additionally, scary movie is a fucking thing. And a big thing.
Right.
So, why not combine the two, kind of?
Oh, okay. I mean, I really, like, especially the first scary movie, I really enjoy. So, if this is similar in vein, then I feel like it's definitely going to be, like, a fun ride.
It's definitely a fun ride. It's definitely 1999. There's going to be some fucking ska music, probably. You're going to hear some trumpets.
So, like a Tony Hawk Pro Skater situation. Soundtrack is killer.
The Offspring may or may not actually show up in this movie.
Wow, look at more band-to-movie crossovers in the 90s. I need more of it. Thank you. Thank you for presenting this.
But this thing does have a very good scary movie pedigree. It was actually shot on the same streets as the first Halloween movie was. Like, that's the neighborhood they're shooting in.
This is in Haddonfield? What?
Yep, this takes place in Haddonfield. It's canonical at this point. This happened in Haddonfield.
Is there, like, reference to Michael Myers or anything?
There's all sorts of horror movie reference in this movie. It's a, you know, stoner comedy fucking horror movie. They have to pander to the crowd that is going to see it.
Oh, okay. So a little meta-ness?
A little. I wouldn't say too much. They might know they're in a horror movie, but it's not going to be like everybody knows they're in a fucking horror movie.
I guess my main question is what makes this like a horror movie? Like, what elements are there to make this what it is?
Okay, so you've got Devon Sawa in this movie.
Ooh.
Okay. Devon Sawa is the main character, and his hand gets possessed by the hand of a serial killer.
Just the hand?
Just the hand, because it's an idle hand. Hence, because he's just a fucking stoner laying around jerking off playing video games all day. His idle hand is the devil's plaything, and it gets possessed by a serial killer.
Well, I feel like you've just addressed my second question now that I know the premises. Yeah. How much do they lean into the jerking off aspect of it all? Is that a very, very running joke?
There's some Jackinson happening throughout this film.
I wouldn't expect any less given a 90s baby like this.
Yeah, and also given a 90s baby like this, you wouldn't expect to not have some Seth Green in this fucking movie.
Why is that the least surprising casting you could have told me?
Yeah, Seth Green plays one of Devon Sawa's like stoner buddies that lives down the street, and his brother is played by Eldon Hansen from fucking Daredevil and previously from Mighty Ducks a long time ago.
Foggy Nelson?
Foggy Nelson himself.
Really? Man, he's been going at this a lot longer than I think I realized then. Damn.
Yep, and then the love interest is Jessica Alba in one of her early fucking roles.
What? This is quite the smorgasbord of a cast here.
there's a lot to munch on going on in this movie. And the biggest fucking snack of the entire movie is Mr. Devon Sawa, who I mentioned earlier.
I don't really know anything about him. I don't know if I've seen him in anything. I don't even know what he looks like.
No, I think you know what he looks like.
No, you're definitely going to have a moment while I'm discussing Devon Sawa in the next couple minutes that you're going to be like, oh, Devon Sawa.
Okay.
Yeah, he comes across as like probably the quintessential like 90s actor to me. Like, I know he's in a lot of different things that I've probably seen him in, but I just always seem to forget.
Yeah, so he started like as a kid actor, much like some of our other faves, you know, Mr. BF, BFF. He started as a young actor. In his teens, he was in Now and Then with Christina Ricci way back in the day, 1994, 1995, whatever that year that was. Mm-hmm. And then he showed up in, he was Casper when Casper turned into a human and Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Oh, shit, he was. Okay.
And he was kind of a little heartthrob for a while, and then he kind of went a little horror because he was the main star of the first fucking Final Destination movie.
Okay, maybe that's the, like, only thing I've seen him in. I don't know if I've ever seen Casper.
You've never seen Casper? Casper's good. I like Casper.
I've seen Hilary Duff Casper. I don't think I've seen Christina Ricci Casper.
Okay, Christina Ricci Casper is a stay tuned. We'll watch that later.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good watch.
We'll put that one on the shelf.
Just side note.
Yeah. And then he kind of, like, Devon Sawa kind of dropped off for a while. He went away, just very much similar to Matthew Lillard, Brendan Fraser, everybody of that time that didn't, like, get the roles that they were really needing to get to progress in their career or other circumstances that abounded. And now he's coming back a little bit. He's on, like, the new Chucky series from what I've been seeing, and he's making a resurgence. But Devon Sawa's a very solid, very funny, very charismatic, much like Brendan Fraser, just a guy that's very lovable somehow. He was also in SLC Punk.
Yeah, I was waiting
to give it the acids.
I was gonna say it's
that
funny.
Just popped in my head.
Funny you mentioned Lillard because I think Final Destination and SLC Punk are the only two movies I ever really correlate with Devon Sawa. But he definitely charismatic is, I think, like you said, the perfect way to describe him. He just kind of seems like a ball of energy in most roles I think I've seen him in.
He's just excited to be there, kind of thing.
Yeah,
100%. And I think you're really going to like him in this movie just because it's fun, it's goofy, it's horror. There's horror elements, there's good makeup, good physical stuff, and it's a fun stoner movie for 420 to start it off.
It sounds like it's going to be very over the top in all the best 90s ways possible. I know you touched on the soundtrack a little bit, but Are we going to get a little Limp Bizkit in this movie? Is that a possibility?
We might be a little pre-Bizkit in cinema, because the Bizkit didn't really take off in the cinema until that Mission Impossible 2 dropped.
Okay, all right.
Now you know why you want to hate me.
What a early 2000s staple. Fucking Limp Bizkit, man.
Oh, God, I was sweeping theaters to that so fucking much, man. Like, there's so many songs that are just burned in my head from having to clean the theater while the credits were rolling, and that was the song playing while the credits were rolling. I can very clearly hear in my head the Manchurian Candidate with Denzel Washington, the song that plays during the credits. I know it word for fucking word.
Do you look back at that in a fond way, or is it like a give you a little shiver kind of down your spine?
No, if I hear it playing, like, you know, driving around or something, it's full-on Vietnam flashbacks. All right, guys. Well, are you ready to head over to Not Haddonfield and meet Devin Sawa and watch some fucking Idle Hands and smoke some fucking weeds?
Yeah,
I'm ready to lotion these hands up and do something, I guess.
All right, let's go, Jackinson.
And now, our feature presentation.
I found the movie, and we just kind of smoked weed instead of eating snacks. And we're back. And we just watched Idle Hands.
Yeah, we did.
Look, I've got to hand it to the creators of this movie. I'm entertained. I am thoroughly entertained.
And I think you've got your finger on the pulse of the entire feeling that this movie gives across.
Yes, sir.
So as first timers into the IHCU, let's get some first impressions.
Well, I mean, this is a movie that kind of just like gives itself away to the cheese, and it's so much better for it. This is such a wild and insane premise that on paper probably shouldn't work, okay? A demonic possessed hand going around finding people to kind of take over its body and kill people. Like, what? What? But goddamn, this was so much fun. I could stop smiling the whole way through this thing.
This was the dumbest movie ever.
I knew it was coming.
Everything about it, it was so dumb. Any laugh that I had during this movie was with an eye roll, okay? But say that, I think this was a perfect 420 pick. Like, Perfect 420 movie. Well done.
Thank you. This movie isn't really made for the snorts in the crowd. It's made for the teenage boys that live within the Johns and the Dans.
But even like the horror aspects of it were like better than I thought they were going to be. So it made me enjoy that. But yeah, just a dumb movie. But I appreciated the stoner aspect of it.
Well, and that's why I said it gives itself away to the cheese. Like, I think everybody involved knew that this was very, very dumb, but everybody also bought into it, and I think that's what made this such an amazing movie.
And this movie does walk into the cheese pretty hard. Johnny Gorgonzola would be very happy about how cheesy this fucking movie is. But we do start with the meta Scream influence of having, like, the opening, like, scratch scene, where you've got Fred Willard popping up as the dad in the house, and the mom and dad are going to bed, and you get the whole, like, it's the urban legends was big back then, because that came out in, like, 1998, so you've got the, I'm under the bed. Like, it's very kind of poking a little bit and also pinching from a bunch of horror movies at the time.
Oh, 100%. And honestly, this movie and this scene and many scenes going forward, like, with the music involved that wasn't, you know, 90s punk, was very sinister sounding. They were definitely trying to create a certain vibe and kind of get you on the edge of your seat. And for how slapsticky and kind of dumb and silly this movie was, there were times where it was kind of getting pretty tense.
Yeah, it gets a little spooky. Yeah. But then you also have the scenes where the bed eats somebody, essentially.
But they give you that early on enough to be like, okay, this is what I'm strapped in for. Now I know.
Yeah, and then you also know you're in a fucking 90s movie because you get the 90s waking up montage with Devin Sawa waking up in bed and getting himself ready for the day. And I just love the transition from the poppy 90s, like, wake up music to putting on the cassette player and walking down the stairs with the same song going, picked up right from the same fucking spot. And he's getting ready right out of a fucking like 90s Nickelodeon commercial. Mom, we're out of fucking orange juice. Ma, we're out of dog food. And then he fucking sits down and does probably the boldest thing I've ever seen as a teenager when I watched this movie. Because he sits down in his living room and just smokes a fucking bowl.
Yeah. Nobody responds. Mom and Dad could be home. You don't really know. You know, who gives a shit?
Like, as a teenager, that just blew my mind. The audacity of sitting in your own living room and smoking marijuana. I've done it at my friend's house at that point, but not at my own house. No.
No, I don't even think a teenager had smoked inside at that point. It was always, like, outside in the backyard, you know, like, hiding in a corner.
Yeah, and then he also does something I was always trained not to do, which is smoke fucking weed with a Zippo lighter. You never smoke weed with a Zippo lighter, because that's a different kind of fuel.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah, like, aren't you, like, not supposed to inhale that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow, you learn something new every day. Thanks, Idle Hands.
Stoner 101.
Yeah, but then we transition back from a 90s movie to a horror movie because he's out of fucking weed.
Oh, every stoner's worst nightmare.
I've waken up in cold sweats feeling that before, like, oh, am I out of weed? Oh, no, it's right there. I got my vape. I'm good. It's still in my hand. Oh, that was close. And he's got to go find some more fucking weed, so he calls up his buddies and he's like, hey, you got weed? And I like the little gag of like, oh, you got to come all the way over here to get it. And it's literally like, across the fucking street.
Not far at all. Like, you're just a lazy stoner.
Dude, just walking around in his fucking jammies.
I mean, you do have to climb through the basement window, though. That does take a lot of effort.
Yeah, and that's where we do meet his two little buddies, Mr. Seth Green and Mr. Eldon Hansen.
Were they only allowed to have one redhead in this movie, and that's why Seth Green has black hair?
I don't think Eldon Henson had the pull to be like, I'm the only redhead allowed here.
I mean, does it just set off the vibe? Like, what's the odds that this guy has two redheaded friends?
That could be it. I mean, like, I think they were supposed to be brothers, so I don't see what the problem would have been. Well, but can you see the casting room? Like, I really like your chemistry, but you're both redheads.
Well, wasn't there like a couple of like twin brothers who like died at some point in this movie? Like. Yeah. Isn't that one of the premises in this thing?
Yeah.
Maybe they just didn't want two sets of almost twins in the movie.
Oh, okay. They didn't want them to confuse them with the other twins?
Yeah.
That could have been it. I mean, to be fair, the audience that's going to watch something like this is probably really high and somebody starts throwing twins around. And even though they don't look similar, you go, two redheads, that's them. That's the twins. I thought they said they were dead. Oh, now they're dead. Now they're not dead. Now they're undead. What? I'm so confused. I'm just going to go to sleep.
The twin twist is only that there's two sets of twins. That's it. But stoners' brains cannot handle that.
But they're over there. Anton's over there, and Anton's getting, like, the fucking weed, trying to get weed from Seth Green and fucking Eldon Henson. And they're dropping some, like, philosophical fucking wisdom on him.
Like, get your life together. There's more. Ulu, did you feel personally called out when he's like, oh, all you do is watch TV and smoke weed?
Yeah, when they were talking about ambition and they were like, oh, you have no ambition, all you do is watch TV and smoke weed. I'm like, but I think it's ambition if I do a podcast about smoking weed and watching TV.
It changes everything.
That completely changes everything. I've got a merch store about smoking weed and watching TV. I have ambition, God, technically.
Hey, we have real life jobs. We're okay.
Yeah, but ambition?
No.
Yeah. Just the podcast.
The ambition is to keep smoking weed and watch more movies.
It can pay for it.
Yes, I did feel a little called out by their knowledge.
But it still counts. We're slowly on the rise, guys, right?
Yeah. But they're okay, but the guys are also like reluctant good buddies because they're like, oh, there goes your girl. You should go over and talk to her. Like, they're trying to like, you know, they're fucking with him a little bit, yeah. But they're, like, definitely trying to get him to go over there and do something about it.
They just want him to do anything, I think. Anything worth doing in life, they would push him in that way.
Yeah, good supportive friends. There's a lot of good supportive friends in this movie. I'll get to that. But this is also where we meet Jessica Alba as the badass biker chick that plays bass.
Before we even actually meet her, I have a really big problem with Devin Sawa's character going to return the book, picking it up from the street and smelling it. I don't know why, but it just sat very wrongly with me.
That to me feels like a Devin Sawa, like, I'm going to put a little bit of extra on this scene. I'm just supposed to pick up the book, but I'm going to give it a big old sniff.
Like, I don't know. Maybe it's weird to say if it was like a scarf or something. I guess I understand it, but like, it's a book in a street. Like, what did you expect, buddy?
So creepy Devin Sawa does go to return the book to Jessica Alba at her house and just kind of ding-dong ditches her by shoving the book in her face and running off.
Meep.
I have so many thoughts on this relationship that I'll save for later. But.
Oh, yeah. This is totally a relationship built in trauma and for it's never going to work out. Whatever. There's things. It's a little kinky from the start. But we're not. Blah, blah. Okay. We'll talk about it later.
I'm waiting till the next doorstop interaction to give my thoughts.
Yeah. But the next interaction we get is meeting a badass demon hunter, Vivica A. Fox. Pair of badass women roles, badass biker bass player, badass demon hunter druidess.
You know, given how long she's truly in this movie and how much of a force she is.
Did you forget every time whenever she'd pop
yeah,
back up?
Yeah.
Me too.
But she would come on the screen for like 2 minutes and give like a badass one-liner, be like, I know my shit, and just disappear again. And I wish I had more of that.
She came in, did her job, got in, got out.
But also, was this all like a play on the satanic panic
that we
had just overcome?
As a society?
Yeah.
That we are now trying to currently overcome again as a society? Time cyclical. None of it matters.
I did really find it cool that when she was kind of mapping everything out, all the hand murders going on, it, you know, spelled out a pentagram. Because demons, devil, 666, you get the idea.
Yeah, that's all that she's in here for. She's here to validate the satanic stuff. But this is also where we get another resurgence of something from the early 90s, late 80s, and that's fucking profiling. Anton's walking down the street dealing with some fucking like assholes from high school cops that are just there to hassle him because they know he's a stoner.
Oh, yeah. Those guys sucked.
Wasn't one of those dudes from It's Always Sunny?
Yeah, one of them's McBoyle.
That's the McBoyle. The what is McBoyle twins?
McBoyle, yeah.
That's it. Oh, dude gives me the creeps.
Yeah, yeah. He'll get his comeuppance, don't worry. But they're hassling him for just kind of walking down the street and not being friends to them in high school.
Yeah. Every part of the interaction was because of how jealous they were that they didn't get invited to any fucking parties, bro.
Even though they were seniors and he was a freshman, like...
But he was a cool freshman. He was the skater stoner kid.
I think he made them realize how sad their high school career was. What the fuck, man?
In their lives now.
but to be fair, Anton does pull another fucking bold-ass fucking move, asking the cops to fucking get him some weed.
Wow. That's a level that you should never have to stoop to. Come on. Come on, asking the cops for weed after everything they just put you through? It's not a good idea, buddy.
So they fucking, like, shake him down and search him and fucking, like, throw the bag on the ground. And they give him a ticket for littering that's, like, $200. And in 1999...
Yeah, can we adjust for inflation here?
That's like a Mercedes-Benz payment. Like, you could lease a Lexus for $199 a month.
You charge this poor stoner who's not even wearing his own pants $200 in 1999. It's a little fucked up.
The man doesn't own pants. He has to borrow them.
He has a fucking necklace inhaler pipe. I mean, this is an authentic stoner. You think he's got $200?
Yeah, this guy's desperate. He's down to smoking nutmeg and oregano.
Oh, my God. What a travesty.
See, that's some early internet shit, okay? There was, like, all sorts of fucking web pages back in, like, the 90s AOL fucking era that told you about all these, like, secret ways to get high.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, being one from the 90s smoking weed, what's been your, like, most desperate move?
I mean, I've smoked it out of fucking, like, soda cans, you know, when you didn't have a pipe and stuff. I've definitely, like, scrounged a little bit of weed out of fucking ashtrays and shit. You know, what should you do when you're a kid and you don't have any? But I remember reading one of the, like, ways to get high, and I didn't do it. But it was, like, baking banana peels in the oven for, like, 5 hours at a low temperature and then scraping off the inside, like, flesh of it. Mm. And smoking that?
Did you know anyone that did it? Like, did it really?
No,
Did any of these things work?
I don't know. I think it was more like Tide Pods. Like, everyone talked them, but then nobody actually did them.
So this is something that you read online, or you just fucked around and MacGyvered this?
Read online. Okay. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I remember all sorts of shit, like nutmeg and oregano. Like, that kind of shit went around back in that era.
I can only imagine how many people were duped by it.
Yeah, and Anton was duped by it because he fucking rolls that motherfucker up and tries to fucking smoke it down, and it goes about as well as you would think smoking nutmeg and oregano fucking goes.
For some reason, it just seemed like it would be the equivalent of, like, when people would do, like, the cinnamon challenge. You know, you just
that's
a spoonful.
That's what I thought, yeah.
There's no way. Like, it's great.
Yeah, that's got to be the worst thing for your lungs. I mean, I'm a smoker. I smoke a lot. But that nutmeg and oregano, never. Oh.
It's got that sweet burn.
So, apparently somewhat stoned off of nutmeg and oregano, he goes to make himself a fucking bologna sandwich.
Like a monster. Like, who? Ew. It was so gross. I hated watching that. That was nastier than any of, like, the horror violence scenes with, like, blood and stuff was watching him make the sandwich.
Yeah, I'm with you. There was a lot of great handwork in this fucking movie. In a movie called Idle Hands, there's got to be some great handwork, and we're going to get to that shortly, but the sandwich scene was just the most... Like, what's the reverse of ASMR that you're watching with your face eyes?
Like, oh, God, it's giving, ugh.
Yeah, the sound design of it all was absolutely unreal. I felt like I was in the mayonnaise jar, and it was really making me feel slimy. I kind of agree. Definitely one of the creepiest things to come out of this movie.
Yeah, but we do find out he is making this with the fucking bloody knife that was used to kill his parents in the opening scene. And that's when he realizes, after eating a bite of this bloody mayonnaise disgusting sandwich, with mayonnaise still all over his hand. Oh, who makes a sandwich like that? He takes a bite of this fucking thing, looks down at the fucking knife, sees the blood on it. Oh shit, the killer's in the house. So we get a scene where he turns into Shaggy from Scooby-Doo for a while and pushes his dog around the house and hides under the covers with his dog.
Oh yeah, because, you know, all it takes to disappear. To David Copperfield, as one would say. Just throw the sheets over. No one will find me.
And he's running from nothing. He sees somebody at the door. And eventually, like, his friends come into the house, Seth Green and Edmund Eldon.
Here, let me fix this
okay,
for you. Because
sorry, thank you.
I should have brought this up when we intro'd these characters, but what the fuck kind of name is Penub?
Oh, it's the 90s. No, I'm not calling him Penub. I don't remember his human name, but...
Redhead number one, redhead number two.
Okay, Seth Green and Eldon Henson. I've got it written down. I just have to refer to it.
It's fine. I just, Penub. Like, when I first saw it, since we had the subtitles on, I thought they were just trying to be clever and spell nub in a fun way.
Dude, I knew so many people. I don't want to get all Joe Biden on a motherfucker, but I knew a Scooby. I knew a Stoops.
But even those sound better than Penub.
I knew a Twitch.
I can live with Twitch.
Twitch.
So Penub's not going to phase me, but I'm still going to be calling him Eldon Henson when I remember to.
Or Foggy. Foggy works.
Yeah. So Foggy Nelson and Seth Green come into the fucking house, see the dead bodies and shit, and they're like, oh, your parents are fucking dead. Oh, no. But that's when they see the fucking, all the other fucking evidence. They go searching for fucking clues.
Since when did these potheads become detectives all of a sudden?
When there's two dead people laying on the ground.
It's fair. I don't know if that's who I want to do the detecting, you know?
And they find a bag of fucking ears, and they find the little fucking thing that, like, fits his shirt, and then they're like, oh, shit, I think fucking Devon Sawa's the killer. And Devon Sawa's like, me too. And that's when we start to get the fucking handwork in this movie.
So I guess my only question is, when did the hand, like, officially take over? Because once, you know, it gets unveiled that he was the killer because the hand has possessed him, well, if he killed the parents earlier in the movie, like, has he had the hand the whole time?
Yeah, he's had the hand the whole time. The murders were happening, like, previously. The hand's been there. He's been the one committing the murders. He just doesn't remember until he realizes that his hand is possessed. He doesn't remember doing it.
So he's killed everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been killing everybody.
I thought the hand was just, you know, body swapping.
No, no. Every time that, well, he does body swap. Remember the map that the
Demon Hunter
thing?
Yeah, the pentagram.
Yeah, that was jumping from hand to hand to hand to hand. He's the last hand on the pentagram.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
But he's the one killing in his low. He's the regional demonic hand representative.
Gotcha. Okay.
For his area.
He's just the spokesperson for whatever town, Haddonfield. You
He's
know.
The district manager of Demon Hands for Haddonfield. So I do want to talk a little bit about the hand performance in this movie, okay? Because there's a lot of Devon Sawa hand performance, and it's very fucking good.
It's like its own character.
Yeah, it's on like Bruce Campbell fucking Ash and the Evil Dead fucking levels of demonic hand possession good, in my opinion.
Yeah, in the way that his body overall reacts to the hand, you know, and trying to, I guess, compete with the strength of the hand, was it kind of blew me away.
Yeah, the hand's got personality. Yeah. There's a lot of character. It's great comedic timing. He's very good with it. So I just do want to just put out that little nugget of, like, heart emoji to Devon Sawa's hand acting in this film.
Very squirrely, but very good.
I know I said how dumb this movie was, but I did think that it was very impressive. So I will, too, give it that.
And Devon Sawa uses this demonic hand to take out Seth Green and Eldon Henson. He fucking smashes a beer bottle and stabs it into Seth Green's fucking head. And then he traps Eldon Henson down in the basement and, like, frisbees a fucking fatality fucking disc at Eldon Henson and chops his fucking head off.
Yeah, we were getting a lot of Final Destination, like, crossover action going on throughout this movie, and I kind of really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Final Destination, Mortal Kombat, like, that kind of stuff was big. We were into big, like, explosive, like, over-the-top deaths, theatrical deaths.
Well, and given this is from 99, and I know we talked about it being a horror movie before we watched it, it was definitely, like, gorier than I thought it would be. They were very visceral with a lot of their kills.
Yeah, and the practical effects, like, the mix of practical and CG, everything looked really, really good for being a 1999 low-budget stoner horror movie. Like, when Eldon Henson's head rolled down the stairs and, like, landed at Devon Sawa's feet and was like, cool, that could have looked a lot worse than it actually did.
Yeah, that's a good point, because really there's only, like, two things that I thought were kind of like, the little eyeball that was on the floor, that was just, like, a plastic-looking thing, and then I think one of Eldon Henson's head, like, was CGI'd on a table. It kind of looked like Casper a little bit, but everything else was pretty solid.
Then, in full, like, emotional breakdown, I just killed my best friends, Anton goes and sits down on the couch, and he's sitting there. What am I? Oh, fuck. What did I just do? What's going on? You know, he's fucking worried. And the hand just grabs the remote and turns on Manos, the fucking Hands of Fate on the TV. And again, the hand acting in this scene of him fighting over the fucking remote with himself.
Probably the best scene of the movie, for me at least. And maybe after or before the sandwich, I'm not sure, because I like them for different reasons. The hand channel might have been also one of the creepiest parts of this movie. Like, going from the cartoons to just creepy hand shit on the TV. Hey.
Was this also the cat part?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the hand loses control of the remote and chucks the fucking cat out the window.
Lassos that poor thing.
Motherfucker's gone.
That's another thing that they commit to, because I think it happens with Vivica A. Fox later on in the movie. When something, like, gets hit and gets launched, it gets fucking launched.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's full slapstick comedy right here. This is Ace Ventura packaged as a fucking horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
But he does need to go find his cat. So he goes over and to Jessica Alba's house to find the cat with the murderer's hand still attached. And there's a lot of innuendo happening in this scene. A lot of looking for the pussy. A lot of bushes.
A lot of fucking bushes.
A lot of bushes. Did you find what you were looking for in my bush? Because the hand is thirsty for fucking blood, but Jessica Alba is thirsty for something fucking else.
I guess I'm just so surprised that she was so dead set on bringing him inside. He is essentially a fucking tweaker on your porch.
Covered in blood. Yeah. Like, his shirt's all bloody from murdering his friends.
Yeah, this is the guy at the gas station at 2 a.m. that you do not engage with.
But somehow, some miracle has happened for him. And she's hot and bothered. Like, what?
It's because it's close to Halloween. You can get away with anything.
Apparently. You can walk out with a fucking severed hand. Oh, great costume. Man, you know another crazy thing about Jessica Alba's character, too, in her infatuation with Devon Sawa? I don't think he changes in this movie. He consistently has, like, the same bloody shirt on, and every single time, she's just more hot and bothered.
It's the 90s, man. You can get away with that shit. Grunge is a thing, still.
Not with his fucking blood.
Stinky fucking skater boys, man.
That grease.
He was a skater boy. She said, sincere. I'll see you later, boy. So they go up to Jessica Alba's room. Things transpire. There's a little bit of, like, we're into bondage stuff happening here.
But, I mean, brilliant hand acting once again. I mean, the whole bit of tying it to the bedpost is brilliant.
And then the hand just being like, oh, fuck, I guess this is what we're doing. God damn it. Just, like, resounded to its fate of being tied up and not getting to murder Jessica Alba tonight. And after that, we get to our eulogy. Because Devon Sawa goes home and buries his parents and his best friends in the backyard and says a couple of words over them.
Yeah, just that they're dead.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what happened. It was the hand. I'll miss you guys.
I do want to say that when Dan does go, I do want you to paraphrase a couple of bits from the eulogy he gave for his friends where it was like, guys, you know, we just kind of sat around and smoked weed and had fun and watched some TV and smoked some weed. And I guess that's all we kind of did. But it was good.
Okay. Can do.
Yeah. So make sure you put that in when Dan's dead.
Well, of course, because then it'll lead to welcome everybody to the season of a podcast.
Dan couldn't be here today. But that's also where we get the twist. Now, when Seth Green died in the, first act, Snort from the couch made it audibly, he's second billed and he's dead?
Yeah, I did not expect to have zombies in this movie. Another weird thing.
What was your, like, internal emotion when you saw Seth Green, when you heard Seth Green's voice coming from the grave?
I just thought he was going to be, like, not dead. Like, zombie was never an option. And then when he is, I'm just like, okay, this is weird. But then they ended up being pretty funny, like, the rest of the movie. It was just weird, but in a weird movie, so I wasn't okay.
Yeah, it was something I didn't understand, but it also didn't feel out of place. I was already on board with every other kind of wacky route we went. I was like, yeah, fuck, zombies? Because, yeah, they were so lovable when they were zombies.
Yeah, I got one word that could explain away all the lore part of it. Demons.
Yeah, I guess they're more like ghost kind of things than a zombie.
Yeah, I think it's more akin to kind of like a American Werewolf in London situation, where he's haunted by the specters, but these specters are obviously real, whereas the one in American Werewolf in London was a spirit, you know. Right. But that's what they're there for. They're there to give him guilt and advice at the same time. But they just kind of like smoking weed and watching TV.
Yeah, they're still stoners. They just want burritos at this point.
No, not at this point. A little bit later, they want burritos. We'll get to the burritos.
They're thinking about them at this point.
Oh, yeah, you're always thinking about burritos. But so he brings his zombie buddies into the house, and now they all live together. And they come to terms with the fact that, okay, my hand is possessed. We need to get some devil knowledge in us. Who here knows about the devil? Who here knows about demons?
You know, if someone asked me that question, you know who I tell them?
Who?
My friend Dan.
This is the second time this week that I've heard that.
You want to make it a third time?
Oh, God damn it. Going for the hat trick.
You know what, though? You are a better person to recommend than fucking Randy. I hate Randy.
Yeah, Randy's kind of a piece of shit character. There's a little glimpse later of him being a nice guy that I'll talk about, but we can take that in context because, yeah, I think John might have a different take on that. Randy is kind of a piece of shit character. He's at the fucking fast food place trying to pick up on some grief.
Yeah, and, you're still in high school, right? Yeah, I graduated 3 years ago. Get in my truck. Like, no, fuck Randy. Randy is just a weird pedo dude, and I just wish he was gone. I don't approve of Randy.
Yeah, Randy's definitely a weird pedo dude, but he does know about demons and the devil. So Anton goes to talk with him, tries to, like, find out what the fuck's going on. And that's when he's like, oh, well, Idle hands are the devil's plaything, and that's where we get the name of the movie.
They did the thing.
They did the thing. So Anton goes home, and he's trying to occupy his time. And, you know, the whole thing's a fucking look into stoner laziness and, you know, oh, you're just a lazy stoner, whatever. But let's not look at the metaphorical because I don't want to feel bad about myself. Let's look at the actual fun part of it because he's knitting, and then the cops fucking show up.
And you just know what's going to happen. Like, there's only one way this can go.
Yeah, the same two asshole cops from the beginning show up, and they're like, oh, there's dead bodies in the living room. I guess we should go inside and investigate this. And they go inside, and Anton's like, oh, take me to jail. Awesome, let's lock me up. Lock me up. And nope. Fucking stabs motherfucker through the ear with a fucking knitting needle, and then taser faces somebody like a fucking beast.
Okay, before we get to the deaths, that was all after they went back and forth so many times of, put the needles down, cuff me, put the needles down, cuff me. How many times?
Yeah, that would not have happened in today's modern police force. Put the needle. It's over.
That's it.
Put the needle.
But at the same time, aren't we all happy that the cops kind of got what they deserved? Don't be jealous of the freshmen next time.
Yeah, don't harp on those cops for trying to de-escalate the situation more than they should have.
No,
I wish more cops tried to de-escalate to that level.
It was just the thing in comedy of going back and forth where I feel like this was an awkward amount of time where it wasn't funny. It was just awkward.
Yeah, Snort's not big on the long, drawn-out back and forth that we're into, Dan.
So after he murders the cops, he decides that there's only one way to fucking, like, resolve this situation. And like a fucking Jewish moil to a fucking foreskin, he says, I gotta chop this motherfucker off.
That's where you went. Wow. I respect it, but whoa.
Wow.
Sucked into a bagel.
Into a bagel.
Yeah, the bagel guillotine appears in this scene. Which, creative way to attempt to get rid of the hand and or foreskin, as Dan would say.
Yeah, it's an odd first choice to go for in the kitchen.
Oh, the bagel guillotine was a staple in late 90s kitchens. We were all about the bagel guillotines.
Were they as shitty as they came across this movie?
Oh, fucking horrible. You couldn't cut a hand off for fucking dicks. And this bagel guillotine proves to be just as terrible, so he's not able to do it. He has fucking Eldon fucking Henson bite down on his hand. He takes a fucking cleaver to it. Much like Ash Williams in Evil Dead, a little homage there. And then he takes the fucking hand, and because we microwaved everything in the fucking 1990s, he throws it in the microwave and burns that motherfucker to a crisp.
I think he could have done it a little bit longer, personally. I wanted the hand to explode. I wanted, for a movie that was kind of pretty gory, I wanted more gore in certain scenes, and this was one of those scenes.
Yeah, like it was still twitching whenever the microwave beeped. Wouldn't you hit the like extra 30 seconds until like keep going?
The same thing you do with a bag of popcorn. Sounds like a lot of kernels still
in there. It's still popping in there. It's still popping. We got a little bit left to go. But when he detaches the hand, we also get like the hand attack throughout the house where it's him fighting against his severed hand. And this is where the hand acting takes a whole nother level because now we have a whole nother hand actor working.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you know anything about, like, how this was, like...
Well, did you recognize the hand actor?
Did you recognize the hand?
I mean...
It was a very specific type of hand.
Is it the thing hand?
It is the thing hand from the Addams Family.
I mean, that's
the
only other
guy.
Hand it can be. It's the same guy?
Same guy.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, and you could tell it was very, like...
Like, it's a professional hand actor.
Yeah. That's the thing guy.
Dang. I guess that's a way to corner your market. I mean, just seek out nothing but hand films. You're good to go.
So after not putting the extra 30 seconds on the microwave, Anton does need to go to the fucking dance with Jessica Alba. And he's dressed, as Silent John said, the same shirt as earlier, just with a bag on his hand now. It's Halloween.
Severed hand, no big deal.
Yeah, and while he's doing this, his zombie buddies went to get a first aid kit because he just cut off his hand and they're coming back with some fucking burritos. And they're like, okay, I'm going to cook some burritos. The hand jumped out the fucking microwave, out the fucking window, and they're like, I'm going to eat some fucking burritos.
Look, that hand, like, defied gravity. I'm trying to... What can't the hand do at this point? Can it fly?
Well, it's demonically possessed. It was just attached to a dumb human the whole time.
So there's no limits to what the hand can do.
Oh, yeah. This hand is fucking free range hand at this point.
What a terrifying thing to have loose in your town. It's a hand.
And around here is also where the metalhead and the demon hunter hook up at the bowling alley, and they're like, I'm looking for a possessed hand. Oh, I found a possessed hand. And they're going to come find Anton, and everything is converging on this Halloween dance at the school, as played by The Offspring.
We're reaching the music video portion of this movie.
Yeah, but not before we go through the gratuitous nudity scene in the parking lot, where the hand kills the couple in the fucking car. It's a movie made for teenagers, 1999. You got to show some boobies.
I mean, this movie was just a very horny movie all the way through. And I guess I expect it with a 90s movie, but man, like every 5 to 10 minutes, one of these fellow boys was talking about what they're trying to get.
Think about the era, Girls Gone Wild, Limp Bizkit, Frosted Tips.
I know.
We know what we did wrong.
We lived and learned.
So they're all at the dance, and they're trying to find the fucking hand, because the hand's at the dance, and at the same time, Anton's trying not to screw up his fucking date by not just saying, like, hey, there's a murderous hand. Maybe we shouldn't be here. Like, fill this girl in.
I mean, what would you do if someone told you, hey, there's a murderous hand. Go home. What?
I mean, I'm not most people. I'd probably go home.
I mean, you probably want to be there the situation. Anyways.
Yeah, sure. If I was at a high school fucking Halloween dance, it'd be a little weird, let's be fair.
No. Yeah, let's not place any of us there, actually.
Randy's going to show up there for sure, but that's a whole nother thing.
Oh, Randy's just been hanging out in the parking lot waiting for it to start.
Set up a lawn chair and everything.
He's tailgating the prom. That's what he's doing.
And at the hand, we get every fucking teenage boy's fantasy in the fucking eyes of Hollywood, and that's the principal getting his comeuppance by getting his penis ripped off during a sex phone call.
Man, we really met this principal at like the worst time of his life. Maybe he was a good dude, but I only saw him in one scene. Apparently he's pretty bad.
There's low places in life, but there's a really low place in life arguing with a supervisor on a sex phone line about why your credit card isn't working for your sex phone.
In your school classroom or school office.
Yeah, while you're jerking off.
While prom's going on, of all times.
Halloween prom. Oh, I was just pretending to be a creepy guy. Halloween.
I keep forgetting it's Halloween. It's just a Halloween day. It's not prom. Excuse me. I'm sorry for keep saying prom.
And Anton's running around the school knocking lockers and shit. And the fucking demon hunter and Randy show up and they're like, I'm going to kill fucking Anton. And Anton's like, I already chopped off the hand. And everybody's like, that's not a good idea. Because now the hand's on its own.
Which I get, but I mean, they would have stabbed and killed him then. Can you blame him?
I'm just saying, maybe if this lady had spent less time at the bowling alley and more time doing her fucking job, she would have gotten there before the hand escaped and killed Anton like she was supposed to.
Or maybe she should have some more empathy for this guy that just randomly got a demon attached to him and be like, okay, you cut it off. Don't blame you.
He's a lazy stoner. No empathy at all.
Well, I mean, I don't want a demon attached to me. What the fuck? What'd I do?
But we do get a little small glimpse of good guy Randy in this scene. And this is where I'm going to fight with John on it. Because when he finds out Anton has a girlfriend, he seems like genuinely like interested and happy for him. Like, you got a girlfriend?
No, he seemed jealous.
Yeah, I read that as jealous motherfucker.
You read that as jealousy?
Yeah.
Aww.
Because he cock-blocked him just like 30 minutes prior, and now all of a sudden you've got a girlfriend? You little fuckwad, what?
Okay. Reframing it that way, maybe I'm looking at it through a different lens of Randy. Yours is more akin to the character himself.
Yeah. Randy's just a little sleazebag, and I just don't like that somehow, as we approach the end of this movie, he's lumped in with our heroes.
Yeah, and they're all lumped in the fucking gymnasium together because it's a fucking lock-in, and the hand is in fucking control. Anton runs up on the stage, and he's like, hey, everybody, demonic hand. And everyone's like, fucking dumb stoner. And Dexter from The Offspring's like, move out of the way. We got a song to do. And goes and gets his fucking scalp ripped off.
This is where I think the hand really really starts to shine. It's one of those, how does it go? I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me kind of moments.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because the hand is going apeshit and just tearing this fucking Halloween party to shreds, just flying all over the place. And Jessica Alba and her friend try to escape through the fucking air vents. And that's where we get what's my favorite death in this movie.
Yeah.
Because you see it coming. And it's exactly what you needed it to be.
See, this could have been my favorite because you see it coming, but then you don't get to see it. What the heck?
Yeah, this is the other scene I was referring to where I wanted a little more gore. I want a little more blood. Give me
something.
You want
a little bit more fan action?
I just kind of thought, like, we went so far over the top of this movie. Like, I really thought Jessica Alba was just splat, like, covered in blood. She, like, maybe got just, like, a little dribble on her.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be full carry moment. But I wanted to see her go through the propeller thing, too. Like, you paid to have someone's head, like, separated for a little bit during this movie. You could pay for this death scene.
Well, I guess, what does that say about us, Snort? We're sitting here just eager for more gore and grime. We're corrupt. We're bad.
My hand! My hand! No, I get what you're saying, but I just love the setup of it, of going from a hanging into a fan and getting chopped into pieces.
They took it further than I thought, because I really thought the shoe was going to get dislodged, it was going to go, and she was going to fall through it, but then they noosed her ass and then pulled her up. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I thought she was just going to, like, be climbing down it. I didn't think the hand was even going to be there. I thought the shoe was just going to fall and she was going to die right there. Yeah, I did not see it going that way.
No, all hand all the time. I want the hand to have a hand in every death.
All hand on deck.
Oh. And Jessica Alba, minorly splattered in blood, gets knocked out by a pot in the art room.
The most Wile E. Coyote bullshit.
Just a little,
Oh.
Oh.
Was that the hand?
Do you think it was the principal?
No, I just didn't see the
you
hand.
You thought there was just like pots just hanging around that just randomly fell off? Maybe it was the fan restarting?
See, I didn't even see the... I just heard it go, ow, it fall. Like, I didn't even see anything hit her.
The hand is a mystical entity at this point. It can do whatever you want. Just blame it all on the hand.
Or the pot.
Yeah, blame it all on the pot. The pot fucked everything up. I saw what you did there.
Metaphorically speaking here, guys.
But this is also where we get Devon Sawa going into the art room to go find Jessica Alba, and we get another really, really fun scene that I wish there was more of, because the hand is taking control of puppets.
This movie took a real, real hard right turn right here once we got to the puppets. But once again, I mean, it's such an absurd thing that I've been strapped in this long. Fuck it. This is kind of fun to me as well.
I could have used maybe two more puppet costume changes. You know what I mean? Because it was just like the first puppet and then the last puppet that they ended up fighting at the puppet ending.
It was, wasn't it? Well,
I could have used a couple more in between of him shedding puppet costumes and jumping into
sock
different
monkey,
ones.
Like a sock monkey, that would have
been weird.
Ooh, that would have been creepy as shit.
Or a little princess one.
But he does end up catching this puppet, and that's when his zombuddies drop in again and fuck everything up. These guys are just, in this movie fucking shit up, opening the fucking microwave, dropping in and letting the fucking hand go.
See, and I noticed that too, but it was one of my favorite aspects of this movie, because they kind of deserve that moment, considering he's the one who killed them. I like how every chance he gets to stop this demonic force from, taking over, they're like, ah, fuck it, let's ruin it one more time.
Yeah, what's he gonna do? Yell at us? He fucking killed us. Anytime he yells at us, I can't believe you let the hand go for a seventh time. Dude, you fucking killed us, man. You can't be mad at us. You killed us. Our level of mad at you is way above any level of mad at us you can throw this way.
Yeah, this is honestly just this is their form of just laying around watching TV. They're laying around watching him just continue to fuck himself over. The hand cannot affect them anymore.
And then we move on to our final standoff down in the auto shop, where we've got Jessica Alba tied to the car, and they definitely go to make sure that, her costume is ripped in half for the last, 3.5 minutes of this movie.
once again, horny teenage boys.
Yep, let's get that midriff showing as quickly as we can.
Well, and even that, like, it rips off her, and she kind of has, like, that blank stare, and it's, like, that delayed, like, oh, kind of, like, cheesy 90s scene.
Yeah, she's fucking tired of this shit, too. Yeah.
Like, how much longer is this movie going for?
About 3.5 minutes, maybe 420. Bump, 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 bump.
Bump, bump, bump.
Bump, 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 bump.
That one was really sad.
That was the closing one.
But here's also where we meet our final hero of the movie, Mighty Joe Bong. Because Seth Green and Elvin Henson reveal the glorious contraption that they've made out of a muffler and some pipes in shop class when they were at school. And the only way to stop this hand puppet monster from throwing the lever and keeping the lever up and crushing Jessica Alba on the ceiling and completing the ritual is to smoke weed.
Well, I mean, duh.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, this is just a Jay and Silent Bob moment that I'm really glad we got in this movie. It was just so absurd. But as a fellow stoner, come on.
Yeah, down to the puppet turning his head around and having red eyes. It was full-on Scary Movie, Scream Mask was like, but so fucking great, because that's what makes this a stoner movie and not a horror movie. That's why we didn't watch this in October and watching this in April, is because who saved the day?
Weed.
Marijuana.
The Mary Jane saved the motherfucking day. This is a stoner movie.
I agree with you completely. This, because, like, there's parts of this movie, I mean, obviously he's smoking weed and stuff, you know, and there's, like, some weed humor, but it's more about, like, the other story that's going on, that you kind of forget that weed and stoner life is even a part of this. But then it hits you at the end, and you're like, shit, I forgot this was a stoner movie all along.
Yeah, it's like the beginning, like, eighth of this movie, because I break things down to eighths because I'm a stoner. The beginning eighth of this movie is a stoner movie. And then the next, like, 5/8 of this movie is not a stoner movie. And then the last 2/8 of this movie is a stoner movie again.
Well, and that's the thing, is it kind of like what you said in the very beginning of us reviewing this, Snort. You can kind of view this thing with two different lenses. If you view this movie just as a dumb comedy horror movie, you're probably going to be like, it was stupid, cheesy, and I don't care for it. But if you view it in the sense that it's supposed to be seen in, as a stoner horror kind of comedy movie, it's fucking great. Like, it really is.
Yeah, down to the fucking final scene where the fucking demon hunter throws the fucking knife through the hand and it sticks in Seth Green's chest and starts shaking and vibrating and fucking glowing, and then poof. It's gone.
And they address it right then and there with his character. That's it? What? Not any cool explosion? What?
And we do get a final M. Night Shyamalan twist where the fucking car comes down and crushes fucking Devon Sawa.
Not before him and Jessica Alba have to go at it underneath the car, which spatial awareness, guys.
Yeah.
You almost just got crushed into the ceiling, and now there's a car above you. You have worse odds all of a sudden.
And you have these two dead ghosts right next to you. Do you really trust this situation? No.
No, no. But this does give Seth Green and Eldon a chance to walk off into the fucking heaven sunlight, because they're like, fuck it, we're taking our bong and we're off into heaven.
Because they're angels now?
Because they're angels now. But we do find out that Devon Sawa's okay. He's in the hospital. And they come back as angels, and they're like, oh, we're guardian angels. And, oh, no, the hand's back. Oh, no, it's not. Like, the last little bit, like, I would have preferred, like, a nicer, cleaner wrap than the car-crushing shit.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. It was, maybe with how grand and crazy we got throughout this movie, maybe it came across a little more underwhelming. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, it just kind of shows the absurdity of being a stoner. That's what defeated it, the hand is. Yeah. Hit that shit.
Yeah, that's all I needed. That's how I needed it to end. I didn't need it to end with, like, is the hand still alive? And then just, like, 100%, no, it's fucking not. Like, if you were going to give me, like, a after ending, give me an ending where Devon Sawa grows as a character. Finds his passion.
I'm sorry, buddy. He's probably still smoking weed to this day.
Yeah, he probably is.
He just went through all this. He needs a hit ASAP.
And honestly, why change anything about yourself? You've got Jessica Alba hooked right around your finger. You can wear the same fucking bloody clothes even longer now.
Okay, do we want to talk about the Jessica Alba relationship?
Well, it was just the... Then she just let this crazy person into her house to have sex with him.
Yeah, this crazy person, and now they're in this fucking, like, thing where they're completely just trauma bonded together over a fucking incident, and she's stuck with this fucking... She had all these dreams and aspirations. She was gonna be a musician and a songwriter, and now she's got this, like, stoner fucking loser boyfriend that she's stuck with because they went through something together, because he wasn't upfront about it. Like, hey, I'm possessed.
Well, I guess, to sum it up, in the most 99 way possible, she didn't offer the nookie.
Come on.
I mean, that's the ending we get, essentially. Like, that's their relationship, Dan. I don't know what to say.
Listen, if that's the case, then she can take that cookie and stick it up your ass.
What is happening?
LIMP, Bizkit is right here.
It's the biscuit takeover.
People Why? In the house, throw your hands in the air, because if you don't care,
then we don't care.
I hate you.
And that was Idle Hands from 1999. Our first stoner movie of the 420 season.
What a wild way to start this off. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was. How many more stoner horror movies are there?
Okay, to be fair, there's a lot of them. But to be even more fair, there's not a lot of good ones.
Okay. That makes more sense, because I don't know. I feel like we've seen a good chunk of the best ones, but there's not that many of them.
Like, I would put Scary Movie kind of in that. Yeah. Like, it's a parody, but it's also a stoner movie. There's a lot of marijuana stuff in there. It's made for stoners.
See, yeah, I'm asking what's more of a stoner movie with a little bit of horror in it than, like, a horror movie with a little bit of stoners in it, you know? Because I know that's always in horror movies.
Yeah, that's always a trope. But you know what? At least Dan didn't pick a documentary this time.
Yeah, for sure.
I enjoyed it. I learned some things.
Nobody wants to watch a documentary about weed on 420 when we've already watched two other movies.
Hey, what's got two thumbs and loves watching documentaries about weed when he's stoned? This fucking guy.
Yeah, that guy right there.
All right, but that was Idle Hands, Dan's first pick of the 420 season. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed it as thoroughly as you did. I'm glad it came off as well as it did. And it wasn't too fucking 90s. No F-word getting thrown around there. No gay best friend that was over the top. It was very, like, okay, it's a stoner movie for teenagers.
Pretty much, yeah. They had a few couple lines of dialogue that were like, but we've seen a lot worse recently, so it's okay. Not a big deal.
So coming up next on our 420 movie list, we've got a snort pick coming our way.
I didn't really pick like a stoner movie. I picked a movie that's fun to watch when you're stoned. And keep in mind, I picked Scooby-Doo last year. So I like to go kind of a fun, we're going animated this time, guys, because we are watching Shrek.
You know, one thing I love on fucking 420 and fucking the month of April is a lot of green. And there's a lot of green on that ogre.
Shrek is the greenest of greens.
Shrek is love.
Shrek is life.
How excited are you guys to watch Shrek?
I am very excited to watch Shrek. I've seen Shrek a number of times. It's not going to be like a fresh Shrek viewing for me. I've recently been in the Shrekverse, dabbled here and there. But I do like to get high and watch fucking cartoons.
Yeah.
And this is one of those, like, fun cartoons that I'm going to have fun watching it with you guys, because when's the last time you guys Shrek'd?
A couple weeks ago.
You guys Shrek'd a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
We put it on before bed one night, and it's one of those movies that I try so hard to stay up for. I probably made it, like, halfway through it.
Okay, when was your first time Shrekering?
Hey, we should probably save this for our Shrek episode, you think?
Oh, yeah. Okay. If you want to find out about the next time, the last time that they Shrek'd,
make sure to follow along on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Teach Sima Podcast. Make sure to give us 5 stars on Apple, Spotify, everywhere else you can listen to us at. And we have merch on, what's the website called?
Bonfire.com/store/THNOPodcast.
Wow, that's okay. A lot.
And we have merch now. That's right. Go to bonfire/store. Bonfire.com/store/THNOPodcast. That's a lot. So just go to our social medias, Linktree, and click merch and get some cool shit.
Yeah, that's a lot easier. I'd rather click like two fucking links than write like 75 words.
Who writes .com anymore?
Oh, I'm old school sometimes, you know.
I'll throw a .com in there, maybe a .org.
www.
Oh, you do throw that HTTPS ://
Yeah, ooh. Just two. Ooh. Always only two.
Ooh, I always have that S in there. Got to get on that secure server. Yeah, so head on over to the bonfire.com/store/THCinemaPodcast/store/store podcast. Go to our social link trade. That's where it is. And go buy our t-shirts and our moogs with our logos.
Our what?
Moogs.
Moog?
Moogs.
Moog.
Like what you drink coffee out of, like a moog.
Moog.
Yeah, a moog.
Okay. Moog.
Moog.
Okay, continue.
Am I saying?
Buy our stuff.
Am I saying it wrong?
I'm going to punch you in the face.
What the fuck is a bicycle?
I quit.
Snorkport. Snork with Sam podcast.
I quit what podcast?
All right, but that is going to do it for this week. So if you see three people going to a fucking Halloween dance, but their hands are possessed by demons, but they're really, really high, come over and say hi. That might just be us. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Wash your hands? Do people still do that?
That was weird.
Ugh. Okay. For the sun chips, like you're at a motherfucking Subway eating fresh over there.
Man, you know what sun chips are the best though? Freaking garden salsa. Oh, I need a bag of those. We need to get sponsored by something we really love so we can just have copious amounts of it.
And this episode was brought to you by marijuana. Marijuana for all the time.
This was an ad by marijuana.